She's one of the first women when Jesus raises again. Okay? So that's an interesting thing that happens. She was totally devoted to him. For us this morning, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The title of my sermon this morning is God Calling. God is always calling. He always has an open invitation. There's an open door. Even in the book of Revelation, it says to some of the churches, it says, "Behold, I set before you an open door, and you can come in." You know, we have some employers that have an open door policy. You can always come in and approach your boss with a problem. We can always come to God. God always has an open door policy if you want to come to Him. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. But before we get to our text this morning, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You for the promises that You give us. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the salvation that You give us. Father, we just thank You for all the things that You give us that we don't deserve. Lord, I just ask You to bless this time of preaching. Lord, help Your truth to come out. Father, take away distractions, bind Satan on our behalf. And Father, help us to heed Your call. Help us, Lord, to have the truth change our lives. And Father, we just thank You for all that You do. Lord, if there's someone here who does not know You as Savior, they don't know where they will spend eternity after they die, Father, today I pray that they would have a saving relationship with You, that they would understand that You died on the cross for their sins, You were buried and rose again, and You just want us to ask for forgiveness like that woman did. And Lord, that You would give us that forgiveness and give us a home in heaven. Father, for us, help us to heed the call today. Help us to follow You. Help us to be changed. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In our text this morning, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, it says here, "But ye see your calling, brethren." Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth is a lot like the modern church. It had moral problems. It had divisions inside. People were sniping at each other. There was all sorts of other issues going on in this church. And Paul starts out with this. He says, first of all, you need to understand your relationship with God. He says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many mobile are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." Just like that Pharisee, when the woman approached Jesus, he couldn't possibly understand why she would have the gall to come into his house and see the Savior, where he had the Son of God right in front of him, and he didn't do anything about it, and didn't even listen to the message that Jesus had for him. And basically, so it says, chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things, or things that are of no little value. Okay? Things of this world and things which are despised have God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. This morning, we need to understand that God calls people. He calls people no matter what you have done. He called Adam and Eve after they had sinned, after they realized that they were naked. You know the story in Genesis chapter 3, how they heard God moving through the garden and they heard His voice. And what was God saying? "Where are you, Adam?" God's asking you this morning, where are you? He's calling. And they hid themselves because they knew they were naked. Oh, folks, God knows exactly what you've done. God knows exactly where you are, and He's calling for you today. He's calling to make a difference in your life. God called Noah in a violent age. God came down and looked at the state of the world and said, "This isn't working. People are not following me." He was going to bring a worldwide flood. And He told Noah, He said, but Noah found grace in the sight of God. Today, we're living in a society much like Noah's time. In fact, Jesus talks about that. As in the days of Noah, men were getting, you know, people were marrying and given in marriage. Peter writes about that. As in the days of Noah, he said, everything's going to be just like it is before. We live in a society where people just don't care. We live in a society that's violent. You can look on the news and you can see that. But God's grace is still there. God knows what you've done. God knows where you are. Maybe you're being hindered by that. God can bring you out of that. God can bring you out of that. In Revelation, God calls people to today. And He calls people, first of all, to salvation. In the last book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, it says, "And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Bride," that's the church, "say, come." Folks, we need to tell people to come to Christ. This is what this church stands for. It is the message of the church that we talked about Wednesday night. "And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come." Are you listening for God this morning? When you came here this morning, did you expect God to do something? You need to listen. You need to pay attention. You need to take notes. You need to read His Word. He's speaking this morning. He's calling people. He's calling people. "And he that said, let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." God's got abundant grace. God's got abundant power. God's got abundant salvation. He's calling us all to take part of that. He's got more than enough to go around. He's got more than enough to take care of all the problems that we have here in this church. Those that are on the internet today. So God's calling people to salvation. He tells the crowd, He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you grace. I'll give you joy that you never thought you would have before if you just come to me." Boy, we're all heavy laden. We do have the burdens of life. We do have the burdens of society. We do have the burdens of this time on us. He says, "Come to me. Come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Oh, that's one thing we have to do. That simple faith is to study. Is to study. "And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." Not like that Pharisee. How dare she come in here? "And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God calls people. God calls people to salvation. God calls people to service. We were talking before the 8:45 this service this morning. And in my classes this week, people said, "I just don't get this." And I said, "You like volleyball, right? How often do you go to volleyball practice?" "We do 2 hours a day, sir." "How often do you do math?" I said, "If you did 2 hours a day of math, you would know this stuff. If you would have as much zeal for math as you have for volleyball, you would be successful." But apply that in a spiritual world. You want revival? You know, if we as Christians put as much effort as in church as we do in our normal job, what would happen? We had the dedication that to the Lord as we have to our boss or to our company. What would happen? See, God calls us to service. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul writes here. He says, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ." That's not a bad place to be, folks. It's not a bad place to be a servant of Jesus Christ. For you know something? When He saved you, you're bought with a price. The price of redemption is not cheap, as we learned about Wednesday night. And ye are not your own. We're a bondservant to Christ. And he says, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. What are you called to be this morning? We're all called to do the Great Commission. We're all called to serve. We're all called to be ministers of reconciliation. Are we responding to that calling? Called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. You know, to do something, you may have to put something aside. You may have to put something, other things that may be a conflict, aside and work things out. We're supposed to work out our salvation or show that we are saved by fear and trembling. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. God knows. He says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb. God knew that Paul was eventually going to be an apostle. But God also knew that Paul had to be broken. He also knew that Paul was going to be the witness of Stephen's martyr. He knew that he was one of these strict pharisaical people. He knew, but he knew that he would change. And God knows that we would change too, if we just understand His grace. And called me by His grace. God calls people. God calls people to salvation. God calls people to service. And God's call are steadfast. They are steadfast. In Romans chapter 11 verse 29 it says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What God has asked you to do will never change. He's asked all of us to get saved. He's asked all of us to save, to serve. And His mission has never changed. It never goes back. It never changes. It's not for repentance or without repentance. What God wants you to do today is what He'll want you to do tomorrow. See, God is still calling people today. And I want you to listen. I want you to listen as we look at our text this morning. We're going to be looking at basically verses 27 through 29 in our text. And we see God calling the foolish. God calls the foolish. He tells the Pharisees, he says, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Because they thought they knew more than what God does. God did. That's foolishness. In our text this morning, it says that not many wise men after the flesh. We can't be wise in our own conceits. We need to be sold out. We need to be fools. Basically, Paul says, he says, we become fools for Christ. So in our example this morning about God calling the foolish, let's talk about a wee little man. A wee little man was he. His name was Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus had an issue. He was trusting in his riches for his success. But then one day he saw Jesus and God changed it. Found out what he was doing was foolish and that what Jesus was doing, he needed some of that. See, Zacchaeus had lived only for what he could accumulate. Oh, isn't that so many of us today in the world? Isn't that what the world says is success? It's the American dream. Have it all. Have it all. No, you need God. America needs God today. Families need God today. Churches need God today. Our country needs God. See, Zacchaeus had lived only for what he could accumulate. It's nothing new. It's nothing new. Israel, when they turned their back on God and they were doing their own thing, they thought everything was going well. Gets this prophet by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah comes and gets in their face and says this. He says, as the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right. See, my Bible tells me this. My Savior tells me this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. Okay? He tells His disciples, He says, hardly will a rich man enter heaven. James says the other thing. He says this, he says, how for your riches, old rich men? Don't you understand that that could keep you from God? He says that the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not. So he that getteth riches and not by might shall leave them in the midst of his days. You can't take it with you. And at his end shall be a what? Fool. Folks, you can't serve God and mammon. Christ said that. Where your treasure is, there's your heart. Okay? We got to get rid of things. What people say is foolish, God says is wisdom. We spent more time in stewardship in church as we do in our 401ks. We'd have a change. We'd have a change. God's going to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. His main goal in life was to become wealthy. He says, after he meets Christ, he says, I'll restore all that was wrongfully taken fourfold. Zacchaeus knew, after he was confronted with the truth, that he needed a life change. Folks, this morning I want you to know that we might need a life change. And you need to make that life change. In Luke chapter 12, verse 21, it says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Remember when the rich young ruler came to Christ? Okay? And Christ said, get rid of everything. He said, or he said, I'll build more barns because I got more stuff. He says, thou fool, this night, this day, your soul be required of thee. And then Christ goes on and says, what does a man profit if he gain the whole world but what? Lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So he called foolish Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had only lived for what he could accumulate. His main goal in life was to become wealthy. And he cheated others to get ahead. Oh, isn't that today's society? Get rich by what? Any means? By any means? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 16 says, he that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to what? Want. So that was Zacchaeus the man. But we also know that Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the what? Sycamore tree for the Lord. He wanted to see. Zacchaeus was so short he couldn't see Jesus through the crowd. Sometimes we shorten ourselves so much that we can't see Jesus. We get so involved with all the things crowding around us that we don't see Him anymore. So he climbs up into the sycamore tree to see Him. Okay? And he was called down from the sycamore tree to be saved. Now there was a bunch of people in the crowd. And so Jesus says, He says, Zacchaeus, come down, because I want to dine in your house today. And everybody's going, what? If you knew what he was, if you knew what he's been doing, you wouldn't ask him to do that. He knew. You know, Zacchaeus' short stature basically reflects on what our stature is spiritually without Christ. We're short. We come short of the glory of God. We have to climb up to try to see God. Folks, you can't get there on your own. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does God have to call us down from to get our attention? What do we have to do and get rid out of our life to see Him? Can't get there on your own. The Tower of Babel shows that. When people tried to build a tower to get to heaven so they could be like God, it didn't work. And it doesn't work. Your wisdom will not get you to heaven. Your crying out in faith to God will. So Zacchaeus was foolish before he met Christ. And then he became wise. Last week, John Solomon preached a message on four responses to the call. And he used Jonah for three of them. Now, God called foolish Jonah who tried to run away from God. You know, when Paul, who wrote the text that under inspiration of God that we saw today, he struck by God on the Damascus Road. What does Christ tell you? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Okay? Paul realized that he couldn't run from God. Paul realized he couldn't get out of the presence of God when God was right there. Jonah tried to do this, and we know what happened. Tried to go to Spain, got on a ship, big storm, realizes he's the cause, asked to be thrown overboard, and then God had a fish for him. Okay? That's literally becoming fish bait. But the issue is that he was there and then he realized what he had done. And then God had to take him in the belly of the fish all the way back to where he was in the first place to go to Tarshish. To go to Nineveh. See, God called foolish Jonah and tried to run away from God. What are you running from this morning? What is taking your mind off of God this morning? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 33 says, "The foolishness of man perverted his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." Well, after Jonah's fish experience, he said, maybe I ought to do this God thing. Maybe I ought to go where God's telling me to go. Maybe we need to surrender to God today. Because I'll tell you what true foolishness is. True foolishness is not listening to God. True foolishness is forgetting the call of God. Trying to do it in your own ways. God calls the foolish to wisdom and eternal life. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6, he says, "Forsake the foolish and what? Live. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." You know, without God, you have no understanding. Without God, you really don't have any true wealth. Because all those things are in the riches of His grace. So God calls the foolish. God calls the weak. In Luke 15, Jesus tells a story about the prodigal son. And you know, there's a song about the prodigal son that we even sing in church. But he called the prodigal son. And the father of the son represents a picture of Christ or God the Father. The prodigal son, the one who runs away, represents us. The other son represents the self-righteousness that we could have. But this kid ran away. He was so weak that he was out of control. And don't we see that today, folks? Don't we see people just absolutely out of control? You know, if we saw the things that are going on today 50 years ago, we would say it's what? Insanity. We would never comprehend some of the things that are going on. In churches today, this guy was so weak that he was out of control. And we know the story. He comes to his dad and says, I want my inheritance now. I want it now. That's what the world wants. I want it now. I can have it now. Everybody says you can have it now. You can have God now if you follow him, but that's not what he wanted. In Luke 15, verse 13, it says, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there what? Wasted his substance with riotous living. The riotous living part means he was out of control. This morning, do you feel out of control? Are there things that are grabbing you that you just can't get a grip on? God can bring you that. That makes you weak, but God can work now. Paul says, when I am weak, then you are strong. He was so weak, he squandered his inheritance. What are we squandering today? Are we squandering God's grace? Are we squandering his mercy? Are we squandering his provision? Are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we being good stewards? It's required in stewards to be found what? Faithful. He was so weak, he gave in to bad company. He had friends as long as he had money. And when his money ran out, his friends ran out too. You know, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends? That's Christ, folks. That's Christ. He called the prodigal son. Because that's what it says here in verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God has called the weak to do mighty things. You know, you can go read Judges about Gideon, and about Jephthah, and about Samuel, about David and Goliath. They're all in Hebrews 11. Have you ever heard of Edward Kimball? You know who Edward Kimball is? He's just a Sunday school teacher. He was a Sunday school teacher in Boston. And one day this young man came to him, and he started having a relationship with this young man and teaching him the Bible. And this young man gets saved. And that young man became probably the greatest evangelist of the time. His name was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody raised in a family that they were so poor that his mom had to send him to church because the church was providing food and sustenance. When he was 17, he leaves home and he goes to Boston. And he gets a job in a shoe store that his uncle owned. His uncle basically said, if you want to work for me, you got to go to church. He goes to church and he meets Edward Kimball. And he gets saved. And now the rest of it. What about the uncle? What about the mom? We don't hear about them. They were mighty in faith. They did the right thing. You don't have to have all the fanfare to be mighty for God. And we know that D.L. Moody, he was an evangelist. And he worked through the Civil War and then went to Chicago. And we know about Moody Press and Moody Bible Institute and Moody Church. See, God uses nobodies for great things.
Amen.
If you listen to BBN, or you've ever listened to the radio show Unshackled, there's stories about how God changes lives. There was another young man in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He was the son of a drunk, one of seven children. His dad was a bartender. And they said that he drank more than he served. And this young man learned to drink also. And he realized once his younger daughter, his younger sister died, that he was going to give up drinking. 2 hours later, he's back into it again in Chicago. And in a drunken stupor, he falls up the steps of Pacific Garden Mission. And he's taken inside. And he's shown the gospel. And he gets saved. His name's Mel Trotter. He goes back to Grand Rapids. And he starts a rescue mission that's still in existence today, changing people's lives. See, the point is that God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. He uses the weak things to confound the mighty. Why does God use nobody? The answer is found in verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Paul writes here, it shows the power. God wants to show that He has the power to change lives. Why do we call ourselves Christians and we don't have the power of God working in our lives today? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul writes, he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." He says, God came to save sinners, of which I am chief. He says, "I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain." Don't let God waste your time on His time on you today. Become strong for Him. "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Maybe Rose is listening today. She's an encouragement to me. Amen. Because of her faith. Everywhere she goes, she shares the gospel. When the doctor gave her the bad prognosis, she says, "But you're not my God. And my God can make me walk again. Amen. My God can make me do things." And she goes out and she witnesses. God can use anyone. Anyone. If we allow Him to do it. If we allow Him to do it. People will see the miracle of a changed life and turn to Christ. John and Peter were fishermen. God called them out and said, "I'll make you fishers of men." One day after Christ has ascended to heaven, he walked into the temple and there's this paralyzed man at the temple. Been there for 40 years. He's begging. And John and Peter say, "We don't have anything, but we do have this, and the power of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." Amen. And he rose up and walked and went in the temple, and everybody's praising God. They see this miracle. This man's life was changed. And then all the religious, self-righteous people come to Peter and John, and they look at him. And it says in the Bible, and they marveled because they were unlearned men. What gives them the right to do these things? What gives them the right to preach? God did. What gives you the right to do great things for God? God does. Amen. God does. And they threaten Peter and John. They can't hold them in jail because God gets them out. Later on, Peter goes down to this place called Joppa. And there's this woman, young lady that died. Her name was Dorcas. And everybody was saddened by her death because she did all these, she made all these clothes. And Peter prays and Dorcas raises from the dead. And they see the power of God working in Peter and say, "We want some of that." In Acts chapter 9, verse 42, it says, "And it was known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord." Amen. You know, there's people looking at us today, church. There's people, there's your kids looking at you, father or mother. They want to see a change. There's only a change that God can make. And it should draw others to Christ. God calls the foolish. God calls the weak. God calls the based and the despised. Let's go back to our children's corner thing. This woman who was a harlot comes in and anoints Jesus' feet in a Pharisee's house, cries over his feet, washes, dries his feet with her hair. And there was righteous indignation. John chapter 4, there's the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. We know it very well. He called the woman at the well to reach her town. He's called us to reach our families, to reach our neighbors, to reach our co-workers. We pray for them every service. And so that woman goes to the town after she meets Christ, and you know, her first thing was, is, come meet a man that told me everything I ever did. Now, she had been married 5 times. She was living with a man. But she wasn't embarrassed what God knew about her and what God did in her life. She said, come see this guy. Come meet a man that told me everything that I ever did. Christ had given her spiritual water after there was this discussion over water, and she understood about who Christ really was. And she brought others to Christ. In John chapter 4, verse 39, it says this, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testifieth, he told me all that I ever did. Folks, have you talked to others about what God's done in your life? Maybe you can't talk about what God's done in your life because he hasn't done anything in your life. Maybe you need to get saved today. Maybe you need to have a relationship with him. He called harlots and lepers to the amazement of the Pharisees. The lepers had to go around and say, unclean! They weren't allowed in the temple. God healed them and they went in the temple. God called harlots and said, go and sin no more. And they did. People that the Pharisees and the religious people said, we're too good for that. Folks, we're not too good for anybody. All of our righteousness is filthy rags. We're not too good. Only God makes us good. Amen. Only God makes us good. Go back to our story. In Luke 7, verse 39, it says, and when the Pharisee, the one who Jesus was going to eat meal with, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake with himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. See, Jesus is the friend of sinners. Jesus is the friend of all those who the world has cast aside. Jesus is the friend of the foolish. Jesus is the friend of the weak. Jesus is the friend of the base. Those that despise. Those are cast out by the world. Basically, the world has no use for you. God has a use for you. God has a use. He's still calling outcasts to salvation because of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Oh, folks. It doesn't matter who you are. God's calling you. It doesn't matter where you are, what your life state is. God's calling you. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. God's calling you. God wants to change you today. And God is calling today. But some people think that they're out of reach of God's love. That is not the case. You're not out of his reach today. Some thought that their sins were too serious to be forgiven. The only sin that God cannot forgive is unbelief. That's it. He can forgive everything else. Do you have a relationship with Him today? God is calling us for salvation and service. If you don't know where you spend eternity, you need Christ today. Christ, God's Son, lived a perfect life, was born of a virgin, died on the cross for mankind's sin, for your sin, for my sin, was buried to pay the penalty for that, rose again the third day to show that He has power over sin and over death, which is the penalty of sin. And He sits in heaven saying, if you just ask me to forgive you, I will. And I'll give you a place in heaven. Behold, I'll go and prepare a place for you. And I'll come back and get you again. If you've never done that, we're going to have a verse of invitation. You can get that right today. For us that may be running from God, maybe hiding from God, maybe thinking, it's not worth it. God's calling you today. We need to follow Him. Amen? Let's stand. Hey, Father, Lord, just thank You for this time. Lord, just ask Me a time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts and have Your way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.